Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Good evening and welcome to episode 108 for May 22nd, 2015. This is Slam Fire Radio. I'm one of your hosts, Matthew the Warning Shot McClatchy, and tonight I have with me, as usual...
Well, it's not usually usual. It's supposed to be usual, but recently it's been unusual. That's what it, yeah.
So it's unusually usual tonight, is what it is.
It's not unusual.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. And we have Trevor, our singer, apparently.
Hi.
And Owen forgot to what his line was, so Owen is here
Owen
as well.
He didn't forget. Hi. In his defense, he didn't forget. He was waiting for you to be quiet.
I was quiet for there. For,
I'm trying waiting. To follow the system.
Right.
And Trevor messed it up this time.
No, I was done talking. He started talking, so he interrupted you before you could even
there
talk.
There was like a second of silence there. I let him have a second. I'm like, you got it. You know, you got to get in here quick, or else you'd miss out.
It's true, yeah. Owen. It's true.
Ah, terrible.
I just can't think as fast as him. That's the problem.
It's too bad my mouth wouldn't go as fast as my brain sometimes.
But in your defense, Owen, when you do get around to saying something, it's not noise. You know, like I talk fast, I say a lot, but most of it's just noise. So, yeah, you know. Better to keep your mouth shut and let people think you're a fool than to be a frilate. That's
exactly how that goes, too.
That's how that goes, yeah.
I'm surprised you nailed that.
Really, though?
No. So, Owen, why don't you start us off with what you did with guns this week?
All right. Well, I think all I did was what I did last night. And last night I went to the local gun range and shot an IPSC match that was also designed to be a demo. So we had, I think, 7 participants in the match and at least that many spectators, people that came to check out the sport. So that was pretty cool, including 2 people that put their names down on a list to participate in a black badge in June.
Nice.
So, and then another guy who can't make that particular black badge but said he would try to get in on the next one. So,
Owen, do you have enough guys to make it worth my while to go down and teach an arrow class?
You want 6?
No, I could do 5.
Yeah, I don't know if there's 5. I don't think there's 5. Mm. Like 5 is all the people that participate.
Well, they all need to be ROs, so they might as well take the course.
Probably could, actually. If the timing, yeah, we could probably pull that many together because there's going to be 1, 2, 3. 4, yeah, 5 would be, it would be close, but we can
then
probably...
And then potato, right?
That's right, and then potato comes after 4.
Okay, well, ask one of them to spearhead it and contact me, and we'll start talking dates.
Okay, all right.
Look at that.
I'm looking
because
for something
we need
else.
It. Right now, I think I'm the only RO.
Yeah, where's Dave? No, Dave didn't get it.
Dave's an RO, isn't he?
He's an RO, but he's busy. He's working like 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, so... Mm. He's not going to be too active right now.
He's doing it wrong.
Yeah. Work less, play more. That's what I always do.
Well, tell that to the bill collectors.
I work smarter, play harder. I just made that up. So tell us more about this match. I remember you told me a little bit about it earlier, and you had particular...
You were supposed to be there to beat me.
I was. My truck broke.
Yeah.
The brakes broke on my truck. It's kind of ironic, but it is what it is. So I figured I could get there, but I would sail right on by is the problem.
I would get there and then some.
Yes. So I figured I'd stay home.
All right. But,
are you ready to stand by beep?
So, yeah, no, tell me about the one individual there who was shooting the revolver.
Oh,
if you're finished, I load, show clear.
That's really funny. I hadn't heard Trevor come up with a good joke like that in a long time.
I missed a week. Come on.
Yeah.
I got a lot built up.
I guess I can mention is we'll just call him Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff's a good
Jeff
name
listens
for him.
To the show, so Jeff will, I think, will appreciate that, or he won't talk to me anymore. One or the other. But you brought it up. You're the one that wants to tell the story. So
if he doesn't talk to me, though, that's win, right? I'm just kidding, Jeff.
Jeff was shooting his 686 revolver, 6-inch barrel, in 357. And he was shooting 357. Yeah. So, you know, everybody else, I think everyone else at the match was shooting 9. So, you know, pop, 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 pop. And he steps up to the line. Boom! 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 You know.
I did it once at a Black Badge in 2013 with my 4.2-inch 357 Magnum with full house TCI loads, hollow points. It was so much fun.
Oh, it's great. I was standing right behind him. I was loving every minute of it. You could feel the blast off it. Yeah, so let's just say the stages were designed for by a semi-auto pistol guy, semi-auto pistol. So he had 3 speed loaders. And so when he got to the final stage, which was 28 rounds, and the start position was gun on a barrel unloaded.
He had to load every round, one of those 28 rounds.
He was up a creek without anything.
Oh, man.
We've got a stage on Sunday that he would love. It's 30 rounds in arrays of 6 rounds, 6 rounds, 6 rounds, 6 rounds. Six, yeah.
That'd be amazing for a revolver shooter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to kind of walk through. This is the first time he shot a pick with a revolver. So I kind of walked through him some of the stages to help him kind of figure out the best way to do it, save his reloads, but do it, you know, efficiently. And there was the guy who built the stages and designed the stages had built a couple new props. So we had a couple, a disappearing target jerry rig thing. I don't know even what it works pretty good, but and then there was a spinner that had targets on both ends, so they both spun by the opening. So those were new. Nobody in the club had shot those yet, you know, those particular ones at our matches. So that was kind of fun to get some different props in there. And he did great on that last. I think he must have just basically ran out of bullets, and so he didn't shoot any of the rest of them. He got a score of 63 points and negative 210. 7 procedurals.
And this is 14 misses. Don't go, yeah. And then failures to engage, yeah, which would be your procedurals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lucky we don't go past 0.
Yeah. Yeah,
because exactly. You're not climbing over that.
Well, that's the thing. We kind of made a joke with someone else earlier where he talked about shooting all the. He's a cowboy action shooter. And so he went through and in the first match he did, shot all the white targets.
Yeah, because they reverse their colors there, don't they?
Yeah, because in cowboy action, it's all white targets that you shoot.
Yep.
And so he opens the door, and there's like sort of an L-Prez, but with white targets in there as well, with no shoot, and he proceeded to put perfect 2 alphas on all the white targets. he's kind of laughing with the spectators. He's, yeah, he said, I'm still on a deficit. He said, I'm still trying to work my way out of the hole of that one. But no, it was a fun match, and it was, you know, first match for most of us, so we were all kind of shaking the rust off and getting back into the swing of things. So yeah, it was good.
Alrighty then. I didn't do too much this week, so I'll go next here. I did some plinking with the 22 as per normal. And I, like I mentioned earlier, I did miss that demo shoot in Woodstock, but I had planned on going to that, but I am going to Dalhousie to see Trevor, and we're putting on a Black Badge course this weekend. So I've been gearing up. I've been pulling all my IPSA gear out of the closet and dusting it off and strapping it on and doing some dry fire and practicing my reloads and draws from the holster and stuff like that.
You're supposed to be reviewing the course materials, what you're supposed to be doing.
I did that as well.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did that too. So, yeah, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good weekend, I think, and I'm looking forward to heading over there and hanging out with Trevor some and teaching another course. So
we're training a new guy, too, by the way.
Oh, we're training a new guy. Oh, that's cool.
Yep, Rob Wynn out of the Miramichi. He's a firearms instructor out of the Renews prison.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. We gave him his black badge last year in the Merit Machine, and then trained him up to be an RO this winter. And now he's going to start his black badge instructor's training. He's going to do one here with us this weekend, and then again the Merit Machine next weekend. I've got two back-to-back. So.
Excellent.
Yeah. Maybe he might even travel to the Woodstock if you guys need him or would be willing to take him, depending on his schedule and how quickly he wants to get this done.
Yeah. I'm not actually putting the one on in June. Just because my availability is not great this summer. And so Wayne said, I'm not even going to ask Owen. He's talking to Mike Partridge out of Fredericton. So,
oh, excellent. Oh, you're in good hands there.
Yep.
I think it's Mike Gross. Just saying. All right, so Trevor.
He's the only Partridge in all the Maritimes.
He really is, probably. He's the only actual Partridge. All right, Trevor, what did you do?
What about your last thing there? You didn't do that thing?
With the 22 plinking?
Yeah.
I said that the very first. I don't go through my list alphabetically or in order. Or by numbers.
Okay. I do mine chronologically.
Or by dashes.
Or by dashes. No. Yeah, it wasn't anything serious. It was just, you know, out in the woods with the 22 shooting at pine cones this time. So that
because
was fun.
You can.
Because I can. Yeah.
Because you have 22 ammo.
Lots of it.
Lots and lots. Yep. So just a little dig. Some of our friends.
Just a little. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I missed last week's show because I was on a conference call with Archery New Brunswick. They made the announcement a couple of days ago. It's official now. I will be the new coaching chair for Archery New Brunswick in 2016. It'll be a transition period between the current coaching chair and myself. I've been working with him helping teach coaching classes for a number of years now. It's the one thing that I kept doing when I left archery when I was shooting, whatever I get my hands on, was to continue to help teach the coaching classes. Well, him and his wife were running it and they're both retiring. She just finished and he's going to finish after next year. So the year after that, I will be the coaching chair for the province of New Brunswick, which means that I will be facilitating the coaching certification program. So if you want to become a certified coach, I'll be teaching those programs and creating new facilitators, because as soon as Bill leaves, I'll be the only one for the whole province. And that could be problematic if I'm not available or if we get a high demand and need people around the province. So as much as I've got on my plate now, coaching and coaching archery is certainly one of my passions in life. And I'm very much looking forward to getting back into the saddle and taking over the program, actually. And, so that'll be fun. That's why I wasn't on the show.
That's a good reason, I guess. I mean, it would have been better if it was like a gun-related reason, but it's at least a shooting-related reason.
Yeah. So, it's kind of, yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, so, I was not purchasing beehives or a cow. Or looking for kindling to make a fire or something.
Right.
So, let's see. I went back to the Machine Gun Museum again. So, you know, big shout out to Derek. And I got to meet Mark Jib Jab and his son Justice.
And I'll never forgive him for that last Jib Jab that he sent.
That's awful.
It was terrible.
Filthy and I had this plan where Filthy's plan, I guess. Filthy was going to put the helmet on and keep it on. And not take it off for like a really awkward amount of time. He was going to get out of the car wearing it and keep it on. So the deal was that while Filthy was in the parking lot getting the helmet on, I asked Mark to meet me at a parking lot somewhere and then follow me to the museum. So gave Filthy lots of time. And when we pulled in, Filthy didn't have the helmet on yet. So I'm just ahead of Mark and I'm yelling out my window, put the helmet on, put the helmet on. So he gets the helmet on, but he thinks that Mark has seen him, but Mark hasn't seen him. So he ended up taking the helmet off right away and ruined the whole joke. And
terrible.
Pretty sure he still blames me, but I blame Mark, so it's all good.
Pretty sure it's Mark's fault.
Yeah, it's totally Mark's
fault. It's because he did that jib jab.
Exactly. We set him up for failure by taking him to the Firearms Museum, where he was fortunate enough to spend 4 hours with him and Justice.
Wow.
Three or 4 hours? It was 3 or 4 hours. I can't remember which, but it was awesome. I got them to play the which five would you take if you could take. So they had some pretty interesting choices. And good news, they're both going to be coming to the charity shoot. So
nice.
The rest of the listeners will get to meet Mark Jib Jab and his son Justin.
And he's going to be performing that last Jib Jab that in costume.
Whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
So the reason for the trip was to bring back the Garand. The Garand needed a new piston. It was slightly out of spec, and it wasn't running with the ammo I used, including factory ammo. So brought it back, and Chris, Filthy's buddies, got it running. And Filthy has the Garand with him right now, so hopefully, if I can, Luke Drew, I'll get that before the cherry shoot. If not, worst case scenario, I'll have it at the cherry shoot. But I'm pretty sure Luke Drew will be delivering it to me, because Luke Drew is awesome. So, Luke Giroux. And then
say Luke Giroux again.
Bang my switch. We had a really significant gun club meeting that I was a part of. I headed up a committee to reform our constitution, if you will. The constitution of the Rustic Gun Club had not been opened significantly in more than 10 years. And so we struck a committee. We sat. We went through the Constitution with a fine-tooth comb, came up with a bunch of proposed amendments, tabled them at a meeting, answered questions about them. Everything was fine. No questions. They wanted to vote on them then and there. A month goes by. All of a sudden, everybody forgets how smooth everything went. The tabled amendment that caused the most amount of disruption to the meeting, I can't even call it conversation, was to add the club's business name to the Constitution. So we have our legal name, and in 2010, we adopted a business name. This is not changing your name. This is adopting a business name. Are you with me so far?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the amendment was to add the club's business name to the Constitution. Well, I don't know how many different ways I explained this is not a name change. This is simply, look at my hat. See the name on my hat? Yeah, that's the name we've been using for 5 years now. We just want to make it official and add it to the Constitution. We're not changing our business name. We're just putting in the Constitution that we're recognizing the business name. Holy jumpins, boys. 10 minutes. 10 minutes this went on. And then the other one was giving the executive the power to kick people out of the club. Those are the only ones that were not passed by complete majority. We had to do a show of hands for one of them and actually count. And that was the one about adding the business name to the Constitution. We actually literally had to raise our hands to vote and count them. It blew my mind.
It was such a simple thing.
Yeah. And it just completely threw the meeting like off the rails. It was crazy. But anyway, ultimately in the end, they all went through. So yay, we have a new Constitution.
Good.
What else? I went out to the range. I've been on the range every day since last Thursday, with the exception of Saturday. Mostly construction for the Black Badge, and we have an upcoming range inspection. When Doyle was still CFO, he shut us down, and when we spent $8,000 to get opened up again, we asked, you know, he shut us down. We asked for the right to appeal in writing, in an email, and instead of giving us our right to appeal, he replied to the president's email and said, wouldn't your time be better spent getting your range up to code? Now, we really should have followed through on this, because he broke the law by not giving us the right to appeal, but it wasn't followed through, and we spent $8,000, and when he came back to recertify us, he only recertified us for 2 years. So those 2 years are up. The new CFO is coming in, and they're using our range as a test or as a training facility for the new crew of inspectors they have. Apparently, New Brunswick has a hard time to keep inspectors. This goes back to Doyle, and there was some inspectors hired, and they
happened was that they were going to use other inspectors already in the system, like, you know, carpentry inspectors. They were going to retrain them. They were going to do their job, and they were going to be trained to inspect ranges.
Yep.
And then the union went, no, they're not going to do that. And so they had trained them all, and then basically unions shut them down and said, no, this isn't in our deal here. Go find your own inspectors. Yeah.
Yeah. So here we are again. So we got a whole new bunch of inspectors who will be trained on our range on May 27th. And I'm glad they're seeing our range and not, say, the Edmundston range. Because if they saw the Edmundston range and were told that all rounds go straight into the backstop and there's no action shooting there and stuff, and so they took that, if that was their first experience, and then they came to Restigouche and went, what am I looking at here? What's this house structure thing? What's going on? So I'm kind of glad that they're being trained on an action shooting range. Everything else after our range is going to be like piece cake, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Largest, most complicated range in Atlantic Canada.
Yep.
And so it's, well, with the exception of, I don't know, maybe some military ranges or something, but as far as private ranges go, it's pretty extensive. So,
yep.
So a lot of work to get ready for that. I did some training on Friday with Remy. We got out and we did some actual drills, some bill drills and some accelerators and stuff like that. He went through 300 rounds. I went through 250 rounds. Quick little funny story. He bought an SVI, $3,000 SVI as his backup gun, and was hoping to use his STI mags in it, but thought that his STI mags needed to be tuned for the gun because they weren't staying in the gun. Well, his Edge has no extended magazine release catch on it. His SVI did. Hey, Remy, why don't you try shooting your gun with one hand? Because I asked if I could try his SVI, and I put 100 rounds through it, and the mags never fell. I'm like, well, my STI mags work. Why don't you try shooting it with one hand? Oh, did I mention that he opted to buy a whole new Edge as a backup gun rather than a set of mags for the SVI? So he spent $3,000 on the SVI and then another $2,000 plus on the Edge that he didn't have to because he was just hitting the mag release button. So his plan was, okay, the SVI is not going to work, so I'll sell it and buy an Edge. Now he's like, oh, God, now I've got an Edge, an SVI, and another Edge coming. But this all works out for Latte because I think I'm going to be buying the Edge from him. So
well, there you go. That'll work.
Everybody's happy. Oh, he's an awesome guy. You know who I'm talking about. Remy St. Holmes from...
Yep.
Yeah, super shooter. He's our new vice president. And
oh, very cool.
Yeah. So there's two new guys on the range, Chad, and he's a prison guard. Cool guy. He's got a Glock 41, that long slide 45.
Right.
Loves it, but it's kind of expensive to feed, so we're not seeing him as much as we would like. And Mo's cousin lives in our community and is a member of our range. So he was actually going to schedule to take the black badge, but couldn't get mags for his SIG in time.
Well, that's what you get for buying a non-standard Glock.
Exactly. Exactly.
So. If you just buy a Glock, you have all the mags you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even some Korean ones. I got out to the range with my 870 for the first time since I got it back, and it never really extracted well, but it was kind of really giving me a lot of trouble the other day, so I was thinking of sending it out to Casey to get a new extractor and a new ejector put in it.
Mm-hmm.
But Jay says, friend of the show, Jay Bolivar's buddy there, he said, no, man, I'm telling you, I will bet you anything, it's just universal ammo. Put some better ammo through your gun, and you won't have these problems. So thanks for that tip. I'm going to go try that before I send it out to Casey. Otherwise, big deal. I'll just give it to Jay and let Jay take it to Casey and go from there. And you guys have stayed here before.
Mm-hmm.
You know about the Juliet balcony on the back of the house?
Yep.
Well, I decided to practice with my bow off of that this week.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I don't know how high up that is. That's got to be...
To the ground, probably 25 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. It's up there. So it's probably the highest I've ever shot my bow from, and even like while hunting. So I put the little box target down at the end of the backyard where the fire pit is.
Yeah.
Shooting my bow off there. Luckily, no cops are called, so yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But, it's a bow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's it. No.
You can't get you for noise bylaws.
Exactly.
What? You don't like the...
Yeah. let's see. Getting ready for the black badge. Got all that paperwork stuff squared away. Kill the forest by doing so. What, you know, whatever.
These things happen.
Yeah, these things happen. So, checked out a really cool video. You know, I've got the stainless steel tumbler.
Yes.
Well, Morley, listener of the show, male Morley, not female Morley.
Right, male Morley. Right.
Yeah, male Morley. That's what we'll call him from now on.
Male Morley. Morley. I like it. And then female Dave.
Yeah. Wait, what?
What?
Random Dave and male Morley. He's got a cool YouTube channel, Due East. It's Due East Adventures on YouTube and all kinds of outdoor stuff and gun stuff and archery stuff. And he made a homemade tumbler. So if you're looking for a stainless steel tumbler and don't want to buy one, go check out his channel and check out that video in particular. And then the AGM, the NFA AGMs this weekend, and I all set up the vote through proxy. And so is Bolivar. I'm not sure who else got that done. By the time you listen to this, it'll be too late, probably, definitely, but not too late to go. So, yeah. Tracy Wilson, one of the directors of Ontario, she's been just around the clock organizing people, pairing them up with members who are attending so that they can have their vote done through proxy. So, although I'm not going, and although it's dead to me as long as he's still in the chair, I'll have my say. And, oh, speaking of the NFA, I'm trying to organize an NFA RSO course. So it's not completely dead to me, I guess. Andrew Burr and I were supposed to go take the training to teach the NFA range officer course.
Uh-huh.
I opted not to go, but Andrew went. He got trained. Now I'm organizing a RSO course for our club and the Madran Club, the other infamous club that we were involved in a video incident at. Yeah, so
the incident that we shall not speak of.
Yeah, but they still speak of, and I'll be sitting at the front of the class welcoming them to a range safety officer training class. I love it. Yeah, so.
You've got to make monitor shooting jokes while you're there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I so will.
Yes.
So, like, if you get guys at your range shooting glass, what do you do? Oh, yeah. You know what? I will play it. I will play the video and say, how do you handle these guys?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's me.
Yeah. Speaking of the video, the video has been talked about. Even Thomas did a butchered version of what the video was about and the ramifications and what happened as a result of the video. But yes, many people who have been listening to us all the way back to CRR have heard of the infamous Monitor This video that Matthew and I did that caused some ripples. We are going to screen that video at my house after the charity shoot. So if you're coming to the charity shoot, there'll be a little added bonus for you.
Yeah, you're going to want to be there for that. It's going to be
right.
Fun.
The only way you'll ever get to see this video is by attending the charity shoot. So
it's basically it, because it's not going live again.
Yeah, boy, there's going to be a whole lot of build up for a whole lot of nothing, huh?
You're right.
Well, that's it for me. How about we jump into some upcoming events?
Sure.
Well, speaking of charity shoot.
Speaking of charity shoots, we got the 5th annual coming up June 27th. So come on out. It's $25. All proceeds going to the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. You should really come out.
Update. Unfortunately, at this moment, we still have nobody cooking for us for a barbecue.
We need a cook.
We have people looking into it. Okay. I have people looking into it. Officer Frank is also a firefighter. He's trying to see if the fire department wants to do it, and they'll keep the proceeds from that. I'm trying to Chris Kingston, his son-in-law has mesothelioma. I'm not pronouncing. You know, the lung cancer that's associated with asbestos.
Right.
He's a police officer actually in the city of Bathurst. No idea why he got this cancer, but anyway, he's got lung cancer and is in really bad shape and is going to need surgeries and whatnot. And so there's fundraisers going on for him. I'm hoping that I could, my wish is to get somebody to run the barbecue and donate all the proceeds from the barbecue to the fundraiser for Christmas.
That would be really cool. Yeah. If we could do something like that for him, that'd be great.
Yeah. So along with the charity shoot, we will probably also take donations for that as well.
Yep.
And
yeah, we can totally do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't normally suggest that, but since we have last year's charity money rolling into this year's charity, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, you're right. Anytime we can help somebody out, especially if it's somebody we know, I mean, that's something we want to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that.
No worries. That's cool. All right. So we have the para course coming up with Tommy. That's July 3rd. And there'll be an IDPA mini match on July 4th. The course has one spot available. So if you want that spot, go to para-training.com and sign up.
Now, question. Is that now Alex that's coming with Rick and Jess?
Oh, he is coming.
He is coming.
Oh, he better contact Tom and purchase that then.
I thought he did.
I don't know if he did or not. Maybe
I'll send him a text right now.
Yeah, send him a text, see what he says. So you may not be able to get that one spot, but whatever. We'll see what happens. Okay. Also, Carbine Vitals 2 Clinic with Daniel Shaw, September 4th and 5th. There are currently 7 spots available as of last week, actually. I haven't checked with Daniel to see if anybody has bought those yet. But you want to pick up one of these tickets and come out to this course. This is going to be an amazing course. To sign up, call Daniel at Thunderbird Tactical. The number is 1-316-613-2336. So call him up, sign up, come on out and play. It's going to be great. SummerSlam, of course, is coming up August 8th and 9th. Registration is open. And t-shirts.
14 spots left.
14 spots in SummerSlam. All right. Well, for t-shirts, we don't have any spots left. Although, however, we will still take orders. But we have reached our minimum order minimum.
Does that include the two guys who made the sign and stood outside?
I put those on the list, I'm pretty sure, I think.
Okay.
I'll make sure they are on the list next time I check it. But yes, so we will continue to take orders until May 25th. So you basically have one if you have 4 days, by the time you hear this, you'll have 3 days. If you want a t-shirt, get your order in now, because once I send the order off to the print shop, it's too late. You'll have to wait for the next run. You can start sending your money now. You can send $25 by EMT to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And those of you who are not attending the charity shoot, also send your mailing address so I can mail those out to you. Of course, those who are attending the charity shoot, you can just pick up your shirts there. So, yeah, that's all we got for upcoming events. Let's move on to the news. And Owen, do you want to take this news story here, seeing as you haven't said much recently?
All right, so this is sort of a little update from Caliber Magazine. As many people who are on Facebook probably primarily may have noticed, that there was kind of a kerfuffle about a change to Bulletin 72, which is dealing with magazine capacities in Canada. And so Caliber Magazine did some investigation and talking around to their people who are in the know, and this is kind of what they were able to find out. Regarding the change to Bulletin 72, the CSSA did some digging and discovered the change occurred when RCMP IT staff did some spring cleaning and removed redundant information. No policy changes are expected. We're trying to confirm this information with Minister Blaney's office as well, just to be doubly sure.
So it sounds like it's just they were just pulling out some extra info there that didn't need to be there. And when I read the change, it wasn't ominous to me. They just pulled out. They had two examples in one category, and they just all the rest of them had one example, and so they just took the one with two examples and gave it one example. But what the kerfuffle was that one example they removed was the using an AR-15 pistol magazine in a rifle. And so everybody's like, oh, no, they're going to take that away from us. And I can understand why you would be nervous about that, because I would be too if that were the case.
Yeah, they left in the most mundane, obscure reference of the Camp Carbine and the 1911 mag, and took out the one that is the most problematic and most often confused by law enforcement rangers.
It would have been nice if they had taken out the other one and left this one in, because that's the one that everybody, like you said, Trevor, that's the one that people get in trouble over. Mm-hmm. But the wording is still quite clear that, you know, there's not an exact example given. But if you don't read the example and you just read the wording, it is very clear that it is perfectly legal to use a magazine in any firearm for which it will fit. It doesn't have to be for which it was designed. The magazine was designed for a pistol and it fits in a rifle. Doesn't matter. You're allowed to use the minimum capacity for a rifle instead of a pistol.
I think it's important to note that just because there's a change to Bulletin 72, there is not a change to the law. Bulletin 72 is not the law.
Right.
It just is supposed to be an explanation or a clarification of the law.
For businesses, no less, not even civilians. Yes,
that's right.
However, we use it ourselves too.
The law itself hasn't changed. I mean, there's been no act of the legislature that changes any wording in the law.
That's right.
So
yep. No, that like Owen said, that's just a courtesy letter, basically, from the RCMP, kind of explaining it in English instead of legalese. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to know that at least for now, as it appears, there's no change. It's just just
nothing
clerical
nefarious
issues
going on.
Yeah. So very good. All right, then.
It's nefarious. That's the word of the night. Nefarious.
There you go. Very, very nice.
I thought night was. I failed again.
Night.
Let us move on to the nefarious topic. For
the nefarious main topic, if you will. All right. Well, joining us now, we have Jim Carlton from the Firearms Alliance of Canada. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on tonight, guys.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We want to hear more about this new organization that's coming along.
Well, we're excited about it. We're picking up membership fairly quickly here. We're doing a little better than we thought we were going to, kind of coming out of nowhere. A good friend named Mike Fleming out in Lakeside, Nova Scotia, had the idea to start the outfit up. And given the situation we've got around the rest of the country and happenings with some of the other organized gun groups, we thought it was a good idea and an opportune time to go now, kind of thing. And it seems to be working.
Cool. Yeah, Trevor, you know Mike a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I met Mike actually It's going back about a year now. Mike and I were both wearing NFA apparel, and he saw mine before I saw his, and he got my attention. He said something, and we were in a drinking establishment, and I thought it was going to be some ante or some confrontation or something, so I wasn't really warm and fuzzy at first. But he says, "Oh, you're in the NFA," and then he pointed at his hat, and we've been kind of online friends ever since. And at the time, we were both field officers, so that's kind of how Mike and I met. And so I've kind of known that this was coming for a while, and I'm pretty excited, Jim, to see that it's finally taking off. You gave us a little bit of a background of, you know, maybe some of the rationale behind why. Let's talk about the when. When did you guys go live with this, and when did memberships become available?
We went live about 60 days ago, kind of testing the water, seeing what sort of reaction we could get. And it was positive enough that we kept moving forward. We started offering memberships, I'm going to say 4 weeks ago. Now, of course, in this economy, that's not taking off as fast as we'd like, but they're certainly affordable. What we're really working on our end is what we can offer you for that membership. There's not only the idea of having another voice working for you in Parliament and reaching out to MPs everywhere. We're hoping to offer firearms legal defense insurance, $100,000 worth of that with our membership fee. And we have some good connections there, and we're looking at the idea of getting group rates versus individual rates, which can be quite high.
So if I could jump in for a second, sure. Jim. So the structure, what kind of the structure of the organization? Are you talking an executive, a board of directors with a director from every province?
Well, in a sense, we're a little bit of a constitutionally Republican organization. Mike's the president. in that sense, and we all have the right to have our say. We all have our input, and Mike takes everything into consideration, and it works out to policies, things like that, that we can reach out to people as a group and be unified, in our thinking. Right? We nothing goes public until we've chewed on it internally, kind of thing, right. And then we stick by it.
And does the association currently have a representative in every province, or is it seeking some of the provinces, or is there some gaps that need to be filled?
Well, there are some gaps that need to be filled. I believe we're looking for a representative in Quebec. We're looking to not only have a representative in Quebec, but we'd like this organization to be more bilingual than it is right now, because our friends in Quebec and other parts of Canada that are French-speaking certainly also need some representation, and we'd like to include them in everything we're doing. I believe we're also looking for someone in Nunavut, Northwest Territories kind of thing. The Western provinces, I'm pretty sure, are covered. But, there's some gaps to be filled. And if anyone out there listening is interested, you can certainly approach us.
Now, the group can be found on Facebook, FAC and AAC. That's the French version of the name, Firearms Alliance Canada and Alliance des Armes de Feu du Canada. Is there also a website where shooters can go check out get more information about the organization?
There sure is. We have our goals posted at firearmsalliance.ca. Again, we're still working on our website a little bit, being a fledgling outfit, but we've got our basic targets and goals posted there. Mm-hmm. And we have a spot there where you can leave some comments, some feedback. You can talk to us. We'll communicate with you about things.
Okay. Well, why don't we touch upon those goals, Jim? What is the... what's kind of the long-term plan here?
The long-term plan is try to smooth out the road. It's a pretty bumpy ride for firearms owners in pretty much everything they do. I mean, getting from your house to a target club, getting from your house to the woods to go hunting, how you behave with a firearm while you're in the woods, while you're out in the country, if you live in the city, that kind of thing. You can run into snags everywhere based on the idea that the laws are so very vague and gray and subject to interpretation. So overall, we're looking for more clearly defined laws. We'd like to think that the police and the conservation officers that we're going to run into out there when we're doing what we like to do, which is hunt and target shoot, we'd like to think that they know the laws. Right now, it seems like we know them better than they do in most cases, because we have to. Mm-hmm. And that's a bit of a problem. I mean, it's going to work out better for everybody in the long run, including our justice system, if we're not getting jammed up with silly charges that eventually get thrown out anyway by the time they're interpreted in the gun owner's favor, and they usually are. We're living in an environment really where the public has a bad perception of us. The police don't seem to like us for whatever reasons. I mean, we're statistically the most law-abiding people in the nation. There's a background check run on us every 24 hours. Everybody who's got a license. If we're doing anything wrong, they know immediately. There's a lot of stigma placed on being a gun owner in Canada, and there really shouldn't be. So we're going to do everything we can to put a better public image on it. We're not an angry old white guys club kind of thing, which I've seen that out there, and I've seen that perception out there, and we're going to try and change that.
So I think that's an excellent goal for any firearms association to have, to try and change public perception through education. I'm not sure that I've really heard any of the other existing associations say anything like that. So that's pretty interesting. So membership, $35 a year, correct?
Yeah, membership is $35 a year, $75 for family, $800 for life. And there's some things we're still working out on the level of corporate sponsorships for corporations. You know, I'm going to be talking to people at the Calgary Shooting Center.
We're big fans of the Calgary Shooting Center.
We love them. If you don't shop there,
you're a communist.
You got it.
What?
It's okay, Jim. If you go back and listen to a few episodes, you'll understand. Carry on. Ignore the tomfoolery.
Okay. Without knowing what was said in those past episodes, I mean, I'll put it out there that I was friends with some of the guys that came over from a different shooting club here in Calgary and started that one up. And I was happy to see that happen. And my relationship with them has been great. So
excellent. Yeah, ours too. Now, I'll ask the Maritimer question. I brought this up in a previous interview with somebody looking to start a gun club or something, or an association. I can't remember what, but every time I try and push a gun organization, the typical answer here in the Maritimes is, what do I get for my money? So if I'm trying to tell people to join the Firearms Alliance of Canada, they're going to say, what's in it for me? In this part of the country, sadly, they do. They don't just join for the sake of joining. So what will somebody get for that $35 right now? I know you're talking firearms legal defense, perhaps tied in the future, but right now, what's in it for the $35?
Well, I have to be perfectly honest. Right at this time, for $35, $35 is an entry fee to help us get off the ground.
There's no shame in that. It's a fledgling organization, and it has to start somewhere. So then let's move the question into, what are you hoping to offer for the annual membership in the future?
Well, I mean, we've got a lot of ideas we're kicking around. I mean, it's been done before, but really what we're looking at is sort of bling and branding. We've put some time and effort into our logo, which I think is impressive. One of the director's wives did that, and forgive me, I cannot recall which one, but many thanks to her. She's done a great job. We like that. I'd like to get ball caps done. I have sources here in Calgary that are going to help me with that at great rates. It's just a matter of, we have to hit a certain line with our bank account kind of thing to kick this off. I mean, right now there's a few of us taking a few hundred bucks out of our pockets here and there to keep things rolling and build things up. And I think what I'm going to be trying to do here in Calgary anyway is get one of the local outfits to donate a rifle or a decent shotgun. And we're going to raffle that off with memberships kind of thing. So like I say, at this fledgling stage, we're gathering all of our best ideas, pushing them forward as best we can, and hoping for some support from some of the more disillusioned members of other organizations who would still like to have a voice and help us grow.
I'd like to touch upon that voice in a second here, but staying on the theme of membership and the privileges that it comes with, are you looking at, I know we talked about the firearms legal defense as a possibility. What about individual liability insurance and club affiliation and insurance?
Well, the club affiliation is something that we've yet to get our teeth into. I know that one or two of the other organizations offer that, whereas we're hoping to go straight. Well, we're planning at this time to go strictly with a private insurance company that covers all of that, the liability. To give it the most broad and yet brief description I can give it right now is, if you're doing something with a firearm that falls within legal boundaries, you're covered. And that's the policy I have. It's with the Firearms Legal Defense. They're based out of Kelowna. And I've read the whole policy. It's online. Now, it's $90 a year. I'm hoping to get that reduced to about half and include it with our membership fees, which, of course, at that time, when we start getting things rolling, the membership fees are going to go up a little bit. It's inevitable. So we're looking for the ground floor thing here right now. And I'm going to talk to Mike about it. But what I think should happen now is anybody who's willing to get in right now is going to get some super breaks down the road when we can get them to them on the thing that we're going to be offering.
Okay. Now, coming back to some of the goals and initiatives of the FAC, what about lobbying government, trying for we had Sean Bevins as a lobbyist in the NFA, and that generated a whole pile of enthusiasm and momentum for the firearms community. Is the FAC kind of hoping to go that way as well and have a lobbyist on the Hill in Ottawa?
Well, Sean, and God bless him, he's a good friend, and I've met him several times. He's the kind of guy I can pick up the phone and talk to for an hour at any time. And he really blazed some trails there. Now, he's going to be my go-to guy for advice on how we go about getting something like that set up again. To the best of my knowledge, he was the only registered firearms lobbyist in the nation, and he's the only one who's ever been.
Correct, yeah, and it sadly just expired.
Yeah, I saw that go by, and yeah, it's a little hard to take. But Sean's made his own choices, and I wish him luck. Still, the thing that Sean had going for him is his proximity to Parliament Hill was excellent compared to me, say, out here in Calgary. So I guess we would be looking for somebody in the area willing to take on the responsibility, somebody with their heart in it who's willing to go the long road, and we're still looking for that person.
Right, so long-term a lobbyist, whether it be part-time or full-time, if the association grows large enough, a lobbyist is something that the FAC sees value in?
Absolutely. That's ultimately the goal, is to have an actual voice in Parliament Hill. I mean, any group can get out there and sponsor a number of properly written petitions that are legally received by Parliament. We can do it through any number of MPs or all of them. I mean, the NFA just ran one right across the nation. I was rather sad to see it only got 30,000 signatures. I'd like to think that we can do better than that. But, I mean, we're going to take every approach we can. I mean, right now what we're trying to do is build a solid block. Long-term goals are exactly that, though. We definitely want to have a voice in Parliament.
Excellent. Excellent. And, my next question slipped right out of my mind. Okay, so long-term goal, make inroads into Ottawa, kind of a short-term goal or a mid-term goal, change some of the attitudes and perceptions of firearms owners through educating the public and law enforcement. What else? Something else along those lines? Another goal or?
Well, what we're going to be working on here is, again, it's baby steps. We're 60-odd days old. So what we have here is a professional videographer here in Alberta. He's about an hour and a half away from me. We're getting together this weekend to start working on a video that we hope will eventually be a viral kind of thing and absolutely help us put a new face on our approach to promoting gun rights and firearms ownership in Canada.
Wonderful.
Yeah, no, and we're excited about it. We're kicking a lot of ideas around. And I'm going to bring in all of my friends in a very diverse fashion because I have a diverse group of friends. Again, we do not want to come off as an angry old white guy's club screaming about their rights. That's been done.
Mm-hmm.
That approach obviously isn't working.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us feel that there needs to be a balance between patting government on the back every time they sit down or get up, and we will not compromise.
Well, that's right.
Somewhere in the middle, I think, is the right approach. I think one group may be perceived as not getting enough done. We're working in the background. And they are. And they have gotten a lot of things accomplished. You can't take that away from them. The other group, on the other hand, has been locked out of government because of the no compromise approach. So I think somewhere in the middle lies the ideal approach. With the NFA AGM coming up this weekend, have you given any thought as to how the results of this weekend's AGM could either help or hurt the future of the FAC?
Well, you're asking a conservative who just watched an NDP government get voted in. So
is possible? Did I see a pig fly over the Calgary Tower?
Well, it took me an hour to get my hands off my head going, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yeah, so I mean, really, I would not have envisioned that. So if we're asking me is maybe not the best thing. I'm hoping that the NFA, which I believe is a worthy organization, can get their internal differences ironed out. I think there's a structural problem with the organization. I'm sure a lot of other gunnies in Canada feel the same way. I personally have been waiting my membership there. I don't have a problem with being a member of several groups, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But my membership there is about to expire, and I'm waiting to see what happens out of this AGM before I renew it or not.
Yeah, you and several other Canadians, I think, are in the same boat. Now, don't keep the thought about why you should be a member of several organizations, but here's kind of how I'm looking at it. I think that if the president is voted out, I think we'll see a resurgence of membership, people renewing and people going back and supporting the NFA again, which would slow down, I think, the growth of the FAC. I think if we see him stay, I think we'll see more people run away and more people not renew, which I think would be good for the FAC. So if I was a director with the FAC right now, I would certainly be watching the results of this weekend quite closely.
Absolutely. Yeah, we all are. I mean, everybody who's on Facebook, and God, there's tens of thousands of us, it seems like. Everybody who's on Facebook, everybody who's connected in any way to a gun organization in Canada is aware of the situation there, I'm sure.
As I said earlier, I was unaware that we could vote through proxy. And this only came to my attention yesterday or the day before. So I was able to pull it off, but how many other NFA members were unaware that they could vote through proxy? Because if you can't be there, that's the thing to do. And maybe I should have known, because I have enough experience with organizations to know that there are bylaws that cover voting through proxy. I've just been busy with other things. I probably should have looked into it, but you know, thankfully it was brought to my attention.
Yeah, well, Trevor, that seems to me, and without being too direct about it, it seems to me that was kept under wraps quite well until very late in the game. It wasn't out there. When it did come out, there was a flurry. I saw this go by. There was a flurry of inquiries about how people could get a proxy vote in. Mm-hmm. And, well, there's really only four or five people that are going to be at the AGM that perhaps they would want to vote through. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that comes out. As for the future of the FAC being influenced by it, I agree. There's probably going to be a few people that are going to be quite content to stay at the NFA if the president is in fact voted out. It may not help us.
Well, but then we'll come back to your point about the importance of joining multiple organizations. I mean, we, the hosts here on Slamfire, have always been a member of whatever we had available to us. And now there's this third one. So I'll be getting involved, at bare minimum, getting a membership here in the near future. So hopefully, even if he is booted out and the NFA gets back on track, hopefully people still join this association. And I think based on your comments about trying to find, kind of our comments, I guess, about finding that middle ground, not being unwilling to bend and not being too soft, I think that the FAC will find its niche and be attractive to several, you know, hopefully several tens of thousands of firearms owners in Canada.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly it. I mean, we've got the Shooting Sports Association out there, which I think is wonderful because it does promote shooting sports. It is bringing people into the fold, and my hat's off to them for that end of the work going on. Then we've got almost the polar opposite with no compromise. And I'm for it. I'm all for being firm in our push for gun rights and all and like that. But, I mean, as you said, the one side's been locked out. The other side seems a little too comfortable. And we would like to find that middle ground that's persistent and attractive. Mm-hmm. And not only attractive to the gun owners, but to the people we're trying to bring over to our side of the fence, in a sense. And eliminate the fence. You know what I mean? It's a little too polar. The gun issue is like you're either so against it or so for it. There is no middle ground. But we're going to create some middle ground if we do our job right.
And Matthew's been really adamant about he makes the point on the show here quite often that you're not going to talk me out of my guns any more than I'm going to talk an ante into coming to the range. So the ante is not really our audience when we're trying to change hearts and minds. It's the person who hasn't made up their mind yet. And it sounds to me through the education campaign that the FAC wants to launch that that's your target audience, the people who haven't made up their mind yet, and you want to bring them over to our side.
Well, what I found attractive about the FAC and Mike's approach after we talked about it was that basically he's asking me to expand my efforts on something I've been doing for years. As a construction, as a construction supervisor, I have access to a lot of minds under 35. I see these people all day, and I see them for 6 months at a time. And it's amazing how many I've converted in the last 4 or 5 years. Probably 25 or 30 people are now FAC holders or PAL holders. Mm-hmm. And they're enthusiastic. Now they want me to teach them to take, or they want me to take them out shooting, and et cetera. And I love the involvement. It's an easy thing for me to do.
Yeah, and the first contact is so important, that it be with the right person with the right attitude and the right mindset, where their first contact with a gun owner is not someone who's got a beer in one hand and a shotgun in the other, right?
Yeah, and leaving broken bottles all over the countryside. Yeah, no, see, this is where it's got to stop. You know, we had a little bit of an incident out here last summer, out in Crown Land, but it was on the edge of parkland, et cetera, like that. You're not allowed to shoot inside a national or provincial park, period. Mm-hmm. But somebody set up on a target range on some Crown Land nearby. Some cyclists, some mountain type bikers came through, and there was a conflict. In other words, it made the news. These people felt that they had almost been shot. It was overblown, and the media did what they love to do with that sort of thing. And really what it came down to was the media went out to where the shooting had been going on, the target shooting, and there was a hell of a mess left behind by the target shooters. This is the sort of thing that we have to, as a group, denounce. We can't be doing this, because it's only responsible anyway to clean up after yourself and not leave a footprint out there. We do it when we're hunting. We don't leave anything behind. We pack out what we pack in. Well, the weekend warrior type guys that are going out there with a bunch of pop bottles, shooting them up and driving away half in the bag, these are the guys we don't really want to be associated with.
Correct. Yep. We don't need members like that.
We don't. Yeah. No one. Society doesn't really need people like that all that much. You know, we're looking for people that know what they're doing, know what they want, and are firm about going after their rights, but not
obnoxious
crazy.
About it.
Yeah. we have to take a reasonable approach to what we hope is a reasonable government and a reasonable police force about how we want to be seen in the future and how we want to be treated.
Excellent. Okay, well, Jim, before we wrap it up, any other final thoughts? Things you want to get out there, plug the association, where we can find you, those sorts of things?
Well, you can find us on the internet at firearmsalliance.ca, and it's a good place to start. If you're a Facebooker, we're at Firearms Alliance of Canada-FAC, and we're working on the bilingual aspect of that page. We're not having a lot of luck with it yet, which is, again, we need to go back. If anyone out there in Quebec is interested in firearms and wants to help with the representation, please get a hold of us.
Talking to you, Jess. We know a guy.
But I just want to say thanks to you guys for letting us get up here and talk a little bit about it, and we appreciate the time.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and we'll have to check back every couple of months to see how things are growing and developing, and you can look forward to I'll speak for my co-hosts, because I like to do that. And it bugs them a little bit, and I take pride in that. I take pleasure in their being annoyed. So I'm going to say that all three of us are going to join, whether they like it or not.
I was planning on that anyway, however. Thank you for putting words into my mouth.
You're welcome. Okay, Jim, well, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and best of luck.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
All right. I just want to thank Jim once again for joining us and talking a little bit about the Firearms Alliance of Canada there. It was really good talking to him and learning more about that. So just once again, thanks to Jim. So, Owen, Warriors Ethos Project.
Yes, what about it?
Do you have what about it? Were you planning on talking about how to make bread in a stone oven after grinding up your own flour or grain or something?
And using raw milk.
And then sweetening it with pure honey.
We need a door slamming sound effect.
Trevor's out. I
actually for once tried to work this in to have something to do with guns.
Right.
I'm back in.
I like guns.
I like the way,
I like the way they look.
Oh, I knew you guys were going to do it. It's funny. I just listened to that video, or that I watched the video, listened to that song today, actually. It's catchy. Anyway, carry on. What, guns. I like this already. Yes. It's less raw milk and more guns. So
yes.
Bring it. What about
how
guns?
How to drink raw milk with your shotgun.
With the...
I was thinking I could make an argument for why the shotgun is the ultimate survival firearm.
Oh, you lost me at shotgun. Rimfire is the way to go, man.
Well, let me
Matthew. You have the rimfire adapter for your shotgun.
That's true. I do have a rimfire adapter. Yeah. All right.
So
wrong. Just kidding.
The first reason is the fact that in survival you are not necessarily in combat. Okay.
That's true.
It's pretty much not in combat unless you're in a war zone. But okay.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Well,
I mean,
if you're in survival, you're not in a war zone.
Oh, it's survival. It's the end of the world. I need to be, you know, able to defend my property against human attackers.
And sometimes that is something you need to do.
Land.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a more practical, realistic survival scenario.
Okay.
That I need this as a tool, not necessarily as a weapon.
The zombie apocalypse. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. So, but it is a good close range defensive weapon, so you can put in buckshot and things like that.
Speaking of buckshot, we bought a lot of buckshot this weekend, didn't we?
Was that this weekend?
That was last weekend. Whatever. I don't know when. No, it was the one that just went by. It was a week ago. I forgot to mention that in what we did with guns.
Yeah. I knew I did something last week.
Yeah. It was with me. And so, of course, you forgot about it.
That's right. Because we did the show on a Wednesday, and that's why.
Yes, that's right.
In. Yes. We bought a whole bunch. Okay. So we went into the Canadian Tire in Fredericton because we were down there doing a fireworks show on Wednesday night. No, it was on Wednesday that we bought it.
Yes, it was on Wednesday.
No, it was
a bunch of buckshot. We get it.
We went down there to watch the Canadian Tire. We're looking around. We're killing some time. We're looking around some more. And we go, huh, there's a case, like an ammo can, steel ammo can, full of buckshot for $130 for 175 rounds.
Oh, my.
Works up to 75 cents a piece.
Was it the clear plastic Dominion stuff with the green book?
No, but no. It had a clear...
It's red, but it has a clear patch on the end, so you can look in and see the buckshot on the end of it.
Which is really neat. But I haven't shot any yet, but it looks like it's good ammo, and I'm going to take that out and shoot it for sure. 75 cents a shot, you can't go wrong with buckshot at that price.
No, guess not.
If we both kind of looked at each other and at the same moment grabbed...
Yeah, it's like, we're getting this.
So anyway, we picked up some buckshot. But back to buckshot, dealing with shotguns in a survival situation.
Yeah.
You can load up with buckshot and have a pretty effective close range, and by close range I mean out to, 40, 50 yards, maybe farther, firearm, depending on what you have in there for chokes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can very easily swap out for birdshot or number two, or whatever you need for hunting purposes, slugs for longer range shooting. I mean, it's not that hard to be accurate with a slug, decently accurate out to 100 yards.
Well, and you can even get, if you have a shotgun that has interchangeable chokes, you can get the rifled chokes. And that actually, I've seen reviews on them, they actually work fairly well. I mean, they don't turn your shotgun into a rifle by any stretch, but you will get tighter patterns or groups.
Well, and some shotguns come with rifled barrels too.
I was just going to say, I'll do you one better. You could get an 870 with two barrels. So you could have a rifled barrel and a smoothbore barrel.
Yep, you could totally do that.
Yep.
And so, if you're going out to hunt deer that day, you take your rifled barrel with you. Or can you shoot birdshot through a rifled barrel?
You can, but it does spread very quickly. So if you were within probably 10 to 15 yards, I think birdshot would be okay on a grouse. Definitely not a partridge.
Right.
A grouse.
For what Owen is saying, as far as the platform being so versatile in a survival type situation, one receiver and multiple barrels or multiple chokes plus the 22 insert, I might be convinced. I was going to try and argue against you, but
yeah. And then of course you have the option of putting a 22 insert like what Matthew has for his warrior 20 gauge warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not most accurate. I mean, you'd be much better off with a 22 rifle as far as accuracy and range.
Oh, absolutely. But it does still work for what, inside of 20, I'd say 10 yards. Inside of 10 yards, I mean, you're definitely going to hit what you want.
Yeah. And then you also have the option of barrel lengths. So you can buy an 870 with a tactical length barrel, pull it out, put a field length barrel on.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of options if you pick the right gun. There's a lot of options there as far as versatility, only having one, you know, one firearm.
You're right. And I've thought that for a while. The only reason why I wouldn't use a shotgun myself for just one, you know, my biggest issue with that is the ammo is so big.
Yes.
It's hard to carry a lot of ammo with you when you've got a shotgun. You're going to carry, if you have one of those bandolero belt things, you know, you got 25 rounds on you. But if
it's not hard to carry two boxes of ammo, but it is a fair bit.
But two boxes of ammo is the same as 1,000 rounds of .22.
That's right.
Absolutely. But let's say you were setting yourself up on a expedition and you were going to be isolated for 6 months, and you could only bring one shotgun, but you had a means of bringing a lot of supplies.
Well, then a shotgun is perfect. You got your shotgun plus a lot of ammo.
And with the .22 conversion, a rifled barrel, there's a lot another, of, I mean, you can another take interesting, a moose.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say another interesting advantage to a shotgun, most shotguns, is the fact that it is a kind of load on the fly. If you're not killing, you're filling kind of gun, you know?
So you don't need to worry about mags.
Yeah. From a tactical perspective, you know, when we look at tactics, it's very good. That it's a very good bush gun that way, where you can shoot one, load one. And you don't have to worry about stopping and loading mags or losing your mags or dropping them and putting another one in and leaving that one behind. It's you're just filling straight in.
Yeah, see, I would go the other way on that point and think that is the disadvantage, is that you're constantly loading the beast. And if you need to swap out your ammo, you can't just drop a mag and take all the ammo out of the gun. You have to eject the shells one at a time before you change. If you want to go from birdshot to slug, and you've got...
You don't need to take out all the birdshot.
Right.
You can just toss in one
there's
more.
There's a way to do an admin. And,
Well, my favorite way of doing something like that, if I was deer hunting and bird hunting, is I would load the gun, and I've done this before. I use my 500, my Mossberg 500, so it's a pump action. And I would load the tube full of birdshot, rack it, so now there's one out of the tube and one in the chamber, and that's how I hunted the birds. So I had a space for one shell in the tube still. And so if I were to see a deer, I simply insert my slug directly into the tube, rack the shotgun, and now I've got the tube or the slug in the chamber. And I thought that was the fastest way to do it. And that's not a combat way of doing it, because you want your gun full up. But when you're hunting, one round down is not a big deal.
For anybody who's really interested in this, the Magpul Art of the Dynamic Shotgun video covers how to swap ammo really quickly in both the Mossberg and the Remington, because there's a bit of a different technique for both of those.
Yep.
So I thought that would be a gun, one that would be interesting to throw there. I've thought that for a long time. Now, I mean, if it's a urban survival kind of, you know, more of a combat oriented survival situation, yeah, absolutely, you're probably going to want, you know, a semi-automatic rifle, but, you know,
But for living out in the boonies, a shotgun's going to do you very well. Yeah,
still going to do you.
What won't a slug knock down in North America?
Exactly. Nothing.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, a slug will take down anything.
And you don't have to shoot a 2 3/4 inch slug either. You can carry some 3 inch slugs if you want. 3 inch slug and a moose at 100 yards, done.
That'll do it. Yeah. Just do some practice. Make sure you can hit what you're aiming at.
You got to pattern your gun. You got to know where it's going to hit you. Yep. Know your holdovers or whatnot.
For sure. Very nice. Good one, Owen. I like it. And I think the listeners will too, because it was finally gun related.
Back to gardening next week.
Woohoo! Do your carrots like
you? Speaking of which, she gets 3 bags of sheep manure delivered, 3 weeks ago. They're still sitting out next to the flower boxes.
Oh, good.
Well, it's still probably snow on the ground up there.
No. We cutting our grass next week.
Yeah.
I cut my grass today. Did I mention my riding lawnmower died and I got a push mower? And so I...
All right. Next, it's going to be raw milk. Let's get in and listen.
All right, Trevor, bring us this first listener feedback.
All right. From Tyler. Hey there. Just want to make sure that I've got a t-shirt lined up. A medium black. Do you want me to send money now? Really?
Yes.
We're talking about this on the show.
He's got to buy
Tyler. Send it. Stop the show. Hit pause and send us an EMT right now. By the way, have been enjoying the shows. Have you talked about gear needed for bird hunting? I'm looking into going to shoot prairie chickens this year. Would a 20 gauge shotgun do? Thanks, Tyler in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I thought he was ordering a coffee after he was asking about his t-shirt.
Medium black.
Medium black.
Yeah.
Yeah, a 20 gauge will do just fine. That's my favorite gauge for shotguns is a 20 gauge. I have a 12 gauge as well, but I also have a 20 gauge, and I really like 20 gauge. You seem to get very similar ballistics, very similar knockdown performance, but you get less recoil, and the ammo is a little bit smaller. It's easier to carry.
And more expensive.
It's actually not that much more expensive than 12 gauge. You can get bulk 20 gauge ammo, and if you buy just regular boxes of 25, it's priced, at least where I live, very similarly to 12 gauge. Mm. It's the 16 gauge and 28 gauge that's very expensive.
Stupid, yeah, because it's so rare.
But 20 gauge is the second most popular gauge. Yeah.
It's my understanding, Matthew, that a 20 gauge and a 12 gauge have the basically the same muzzle velocity, but the 20 gauge simply has less payload. Is that?
That's correct. Yeah, it's usually an ounce in 12 gauge for your standard 2 3/4, and you're looking at 7/8 of an ounce. So you're talking an eighth of an ounce difference.
Cool.
And it's not that big a deal. But you know, 20 gauge is great. And if you don't like that, get a 12 gauge. I mean, no big deal. They're both good gauges.
Okay. Now time for a stupid question. What's a prairie chicken?
I think he's talking like grouse type things, type birds.
Like what we would call, like I call a partridge or
what
a grouse.
What you would call a bush chicken. Yeah, bush chicken, yes. Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's going to be a similar species, I think, that's some sort of light bird that is tasty.
Prairie chicken is, I'm pretty sure, is just slang for grouse or partridge.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Because, yeah, where exactly do you go hunting in Saskatchewan? Like, do you have to look out for the combines?
Combines, I believe it's combines.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, what do you like? Have you been to Winnipeg?
That's what Americans call combines, anyway.
Yeah. So so I went camping and everything was fine until the combine showed up, and yeah. It's the prairies. It's just you watch your dog run away for 3 days, right?
Yeah.
drop a pencil and back up water for a mile.
Yeah, so it's flat. Okay, no woods.
Oh, Owen, yes. Bring us this next one here.
Oh, okay. This person says, "Hi, gents. Okay, here's my request. Large in tan, please." That's a weird coffee. I've never heard.
A tan coffee, yeah.
Yeah.
A large tan?
Must be a lot of milk in it. That's
fine. I have to tell the joke, and I can't hold it anymore. One of my students, you have to remember where I work, one of my students says to me one day, he says, "Sir, you like your coffee like you like your women." I said, "What? What are you talking about?" He said, "Yeah, large and black."
Huh. Okay. Huh.
Yeah. It never stopped with this kid. He always said something like that.
He continues on. "Thanks from the west of Canada, our home and native land." Oh, yeah. Go Riders. Now, I guess, dude, this is not, that doesn't even register with these two.
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay, because I don't know what the CFL is.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
Well, at least
CFL.
You knew that there was a CFL. I'm impressed just by that much.
Just because you and I don't talk sports doesn't mean I don't follow sports.
Is that like Canadian Firearms
League?
If I talk
sports with you, it's just one more thing I got to talk to you about. take that. Yes, Matthew, the Riders will be playing against the Montreal Leafs next
Canadians?
Week. Montreal Leafs?
The Montreal Blue Jays, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know nothing about sports.
It's all right.
Speaking
you know
of sports,
all about the shooting sports, buddy.
That's the important stuff.
Speaking of sports, Trevor, did you see my Facebook status the other day?
Yes. Something about you getting a coaching job?
No.
Was that it?
No.
No, but something about Toronto, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I said, I mentioned that Toronto Maple Leafs hiring Mike Babcock was probably the best thing to happen to the organization since they won that face-off.
That one time.
That face-off back in 67?
Yeah. Anyway, no, this guy continues on. "Now I got to go clean my SKS and its TAPCO stock."
Oh, yeah.
You may hate me, but I still love y'all. Hee hee. "Okay, how much and who wants my money for it?"
Oh, I'm sorry. We don't sell to communists.
"As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens his friend." Willie Darren.
Awesome. Thanks,
thanks,
man.
Willie. And this last one comes to us from Jason Philp. He says, hello, everyone. Please pass.
Skeet!
What?
Sorry. Continue.
Skeet. Yelled skeet.
Please pass this email along. We are having our first registered shoot here in Golden, BC on July 1st. There's also a car show in Golden that day, along with some amazing fireworks at night. We have a full-service campground in Golden, as well as a primitive parking right at the range. Lunch and supper is provided. Great targets and great food. If you know that you are coming for the shoot, please RSVP so that we have an idea of the number of shooters. So my only issue with this is, this is the email I got from him. There is no other information. So there's going to be a registered shoot in Golden, BC. So I don't know what kind of shoot. I don't know what range it's at. Maybe it's Golden Range. I don't know. I don't know why he mentioned the car show. I got no idea here. So Jason, I just read this because I know who you are and I like you. So thank you. Maybe you could send us more info next time.
Or they could just call the telephone number 250-344-3637 to find out more
information. Ask for Jason.
Ask or Ron, because it's Ron's number.
It's funnier if you ask for Jason.
All right. Or is it Charlene?
It could be, because there's a Charlene there, too.
Man.
I'm not, see?
Charlene, Ron,
Nemechek.
I knew that.
Yeah.
So call Charlene, Ron, Nemechek at 250-344-3637. Tell them Slamfire Radio sent you. And
you're wondering about the registered shoot in Golden, BC.
No, just call them up, say, I saw a rock, and hang up.
Yeah,
because that's basically what happened with this email. Jason was sending it. He saw a rock and left out half the information.
That's basically, yeah. So little context there, buddy. Skeet.
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to send an email to the show and invariably get made fun of for not sending enough information or... for, you know, we'll yell at you for having a Tapco stock on your SKS. I don't know. You can send that to slamfireradio@gmail.com. And Trevor, you weren't here last week to listen to the complaints and the explanations that we got, but I'm sure you heard them anyway when you listened.
Well, I believe it. Well, I tried to listen to the show, but I didn't get through the main topic or the.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I kind of never got back to it. I believe that it was like 2-1 in favor of the rant.
Yes, it was like that. But one of the reasons that, and this is a little serious, one of the reasons why some of the people were, they were replying saying that, well, look, the SKS is A, very inexpensive to purchase. Ammunition is inexpensive to purchase. And unfortunately, it has a very short length of pull. And the only option is to put a cheap Tapco stock on it because that's basically all that's available for it. Mm. And so it takes an inexpensive gun that's a lot of fun to shoot and it allows it to be more versatile for people who aren't exactly 4 feet tall.
Yeah, buy a 22. They have short lengths of pull and you don't put Tapco on that and they're inexpensive. That's my answer.
Well, that's an answer. However, a lot of people like centerfire. And why wouldn't you want them to shoot centerfire when you make fun of me for shooting rimfire so much?
I don't believe I do make fun of you for I make fun of everybody for everything.
So anyway, it was well articulated, the email last week, and I'm fully on board for anybody who owns an SKS. You can dress it up however you like. Just don't, like Trevor said, don't do it because, you know what? I don't care what you do. It's your gun.
I'm just saying, do it, but acknowledge that you're putting lipstick on a pig.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it here. Lipstick on a pig. All right, iTunes review. We don't have one this week because nobody loves us. So apparently that's all we have about that. So if you'd like to leave us an iTunes review, we do like them. They're really cool. 5-star ratings are our favorite, and they're awesome to read. We really enjoy them. So thank you to everybody who has sent one in, and thank you in advance to those who will. On to shout-outs.
Fred, our buddy Fred. He sent some Axis trigger parts in the mail for me today. I got an Axis here that I'm doing a trigger job on. More or less botched it, and Fred has come to the rescue to help get my buddy's Axis up and running again. And he took pity on me. He told me how to build one, and I whined. And instead of allowing me to build one or getting me to build one, he just bailed me out by sending me his parts literally right out of his gun. So that's the kind of guy Fred is. Just nice. To shut you up for a lot, I'm going to send you the bolt out of my gun. So
you broke the bolt?
No, I didn't break the bolt, but he sent me. It's a long story.
Okay, I don't.
I cut too many coils off the spring. He's got a really cool axis trigger modification where he uses a sheet metal screw and a spring.
Uh huh.
And reduces the diameter of the sheet metal screw and then the length. And he, oh man, sweetest axis trigger I've ever seen.
Nice.
So yeah, you have to talk to him about it. Cherry shoot. And thanks to Chris for getting my Garand up and running, and to Luke Giroux for bringing it to me, because you're going to, right, Luke? Right.
Say Luke Giroux again.
Luke Giroux.
This is the Luke Giroux show, basically.
Luke Giroux. Bang my switch, bring me my gun. Thank you.
All right, then. And who's got Jeff there?
So my shout-out is to Jeff Young, who was at the match yesterday.
Is he the guy with the clown gun?
The what?
He's got a 44 Magnum with a 14.5-inch barrel.
Okay, so you just... Oh, thanks, man, for just totally taking the wind out of my sails. So... My shout-out was to Jeff for shooting the 357 Magnum. And next match, he's planning on shooting his 686 with the 8-inch barrel in 44 mag.
That's not a 686, 629.
629, whatever. It's a Chinese, and it's got a wheel gun, and it's got a barrel that should have a rail and a hand grip on the front.
It's true. No, it's an awesome one. Yeah. And yeah, except for Jeff being a Waylon Jennings fan, he seems to be a really nice guy.
He doesn't like you anymore. Wow. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, I've got a shout out to Thomas, and Thomas sent me a message on Facebook Slamfire page. Sent us a message, and he said, I think the extent of it, I'm summing it up here, he can't come to the charity shoot, but he wants his BRS-99 there to be shot. And so of course I said, yes, me. Here's my mailing address. And so he's mailing me his BRS-99, and he's also given me permission to tweak it, because it needs a couple of small jobs done to it. So I'm going to be doing a video review on it as well.
So he Tom Sawyer'd you.
He kind of did, but he's sending me a BRS-99. If you don't know what a BRS-99 is...
I just looked it up. Oh, my
you
goodness.
You need to look this up.
If I had known what that was, I followed that conversation, but I never bothered. I would have said me too.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
So it's an Uzi-like looking gun,
nice.
But it's non-restricted. Has a fake silencer on the front to give all of the barrel, the extra barrel sticking out there, something to do instead of just stick out there and look dumb. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to play with. And he also said, I got a Swiss Arms. I'd like to send that too, but dang it, not allowed. So otherwise, he would have been sending a Swiss Arms along for me to
Thomas,
play with as well.
Thomas, you're the man.
Yeah, Thomas is very cool. So Thomas is—he's getting the shout out now, and of course he'll get one when it arrives, and he'll probably get one again when I'm playing with it, and he'll get another one when I send it back, probably, and of course there'll be one when the video. So Thomas, you're awesome. Thank you. I can't wait to shoot this thing. Alrighty. I guess that's it for the show. You two clowns have anything left you want to add?
Take somebody shooting.
That's not yet. That's in a minute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I got nothing.
Okay, so check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. Join any or
shoot
all.
Shoot straight, shoot safe.
No.
Shoot off.
Shh, not yet.
Not yet. Sorry.
So, National Firearms Associations, check them out. Also give some extra thought.
Arms Society is a polite society.
Give some extra thought to the Firearms Alliance of Canada. Check them out, of course. There'll be a link on the show description on our website.
Watch us chase our tails. Tech turn up.
Check us out on Gun Owners of Canada.
Sorry.
We have a forum there. And you go give Double Ought Buck some company, because he's always on there saying stuff and nobody talks back to him.
More guns equals less crime.
That's not even a podcast sign off.
It is now. All right. And also, like us on Facebook. We have 1,195. We are 5 away from 1,200 likes. Come on, folks. We can do this. 1,200.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
And that's the show for this week. Owen?
What?
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something.
When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
I have a very important announcement just been handed to me. Cannonball!